1 through 11. In my former book, Theopnosis, I wrote about how, about all that Jesus began to do and teach.
Till the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen.
After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God.
On the one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about.
For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight.
They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them.
Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
What a blessed Bible school we've had. Many people were lost and newly found in Jesus. And some were found again in Jesus. today, we want to do the closing message from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And the title of the... Before we say the title, and then I'm going to pray, okay? Dear Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful Bible school. Thank you for helping us to be found in Jesus. Thank you for reaching out to the lost and those going astray, those lost in the darkness, and with your gospel and leading them to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, now help us to study this passage. Help us to hear your call to be witnesses of Jesus and to learn to be strengthened and depend on your Holy Spirit. And bless this time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Title of the message is, Wait for the Gift the Father has Promised, and Live as Jesus' Witnesses. And the key verse is verse 8. Let's read that all together, okay? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Today we want to look at the last commands Jesus gave to his followers just before he was taken up into heaven in this passage. Look at verse 1a. In my former book, Theophilus. This book was written by Luke the Apostle. He was a doctor. He was a historian. He was an apostle. In his former book was the book of Luke, out of which we have studied several passages. Theophilus means lover of God. He could have been writing to a specific person, or to all lovers of God throughout the centuries. And if that's the case, then he was writing to you, who love Jesus. Because you're a Theophilus, not a bacteria, the lover of God. In his former book, he wrote about Jesus. Look at verse 1b. I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. At this conference, we have learned lots about what Jesus was doing and teaching, have we not? Mm-hmm. Who has been here since the beginning of the conference? Okay, we've learned a lot of things about what Jesus was doing and teaching. Jesus was a spiritual doctor when he healed a paralytic physically and spiritually, forgiving his sins and saying, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." He healed Levi of his selfishness and his loneliness when he said, "Follow me." He saved people from condemnation, freeing them and telling them, "Go now and leave your life of sin." He searched and found people who had wandered away from the Lord. He searched and found people who had fallen on their backs in the dark places like lost coins. He forgave and restored countless prodigal sons and daughters. He also reached out to those like the Pharisees, helping them to know the grace of God and the truth of God, overcoming their pride. Jesus did a lot of wonderful things during his earthly ministry. Jesus also taught his disciples many things. Look at verse 1b again. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Jesus spent a lot of time instructing his 12 because he knew that through them the gospel would be preached throughout the world. Jesus taught them through the Holy Spirit. He used all kinds of methods to teach these apostles, verbally, through group Bible study, through one-to-one discussions, through showing the example, by allowing his disciples to have hands-on experience. I mean, Jesus used all kinds of methods. But the ultimate teaching came when he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit. Instructions through the Holy Spirit. When we try to reveal Jesus through Bible study or serving, etc., we are essentially environment makers for God to work in people's hearts. It is God who will do the ultimate teaching through His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We saw this in the testimony of my daughter Sarah. She had a lifetime of Bible teaching and living in a Christian family since birth. She was hearing the Word of God before birth. But, you know, I would like to hear her say, "Yes, it was through one of my father's deep group Bible studies that I accepted Jesus into my heart." What did she say, though? She didn't say that. She said that it was during one praise and worship session and being surrounded by people who loved her that she said in her heart was strangely moved and she confessed, "This is what I want." She meant life in Jesus. That's what she wants. It was the singing in a praise and worship song. That's the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to her personally. Julie, you know, it's nice, we would like to say Julie had met Jesus through some powerful message at a conference. But do you know where Julie first met Jesus at? While talking in the kitchen with the mother of a former boyfriend. And the Holy Spirit moved in her heart and taught her the truth about Jesus. Okay? The Holy Spirit. Maybe through this Bible school, the Holy Spirit is trying to teach you about Jesus in some life-changing way. Jesus tried hard to show people that he was alive. Let's read verse 3 altogether. Okay? After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus suffered much during his 3.5 years of ministry, serving others. He suffered much during his passion, being falsely accused, nailed to the cross, so that we can be forgiven of our sins. After his death and resurrection, he appeared to his followers, convincing them that he was alive. He ate with them, gave them peace. He even told doubting Thomas to touch the wounds in his hands and his side. Ooh. There are many convincing proofs that Jesus is alive. He was alive during those 40 days he was with the apostles, and he is alive right now. Amen. Ministering to our hearts through His Word and His Holy Spirit. Amen. So part two, do not lose the point, verses 3 to 7. Jesus is very wise about things that might sidetrack and deceive His followers over the millennia. First, they needed to stick to the main point of Jesus' teaching. So let's read verse 3 altogether, okay? After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus' point is always the resurrection and the kingdom of God. The resurrection and the kingdom of God. Jesus rose from the dead and is alive right now. He wants us to place all our hope in the kingdom of God. He will come again to gather His elect, all those who have been forgiven, those who have placed all their hope and trust in Him. And this is the main point of Jesus' ministry and teaching. So often we are tempted to deviate from the message of the kingdom of God for more practical issues. But think about it. There were more than enough social issues in the day in Jesus' time. Wasn't there the Roman occupation, taxation with zero representation, government and corruption? What about women's rights? But Jesus spoke about the gospel and the kingdom of God. Yeah, He could speak for a thousand things. It seems that people want to hold on to something practical and tangible instead. But the gospel and the kingdom of God are the most important things.
Amen.
It is because knowledge of the gospel and the kingdom of God gives us a living hope. We suffer a lot because of lack of hope. Students despair. Will I ever get a job? Will my degree be worth anything? Will I ever get out of debt? Will I ever marry? Will I ever be free from depression? Will I always be wrestling with this or that issue? But a living hope in the kingdom of God is what our hearts long for. In the kingdom of God, there is love, joy, peace, kindness, and goodness. There's a whole universe of opportunities in the kingdom of God. There is hope because the kingdom of God is ruled by the Prince of Peace, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the best kingdom to dwell in. And we need to seek that kingdom. Who knows? Let's recite Matthew 6:33 altogether. Okay? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we seek Jesus' kingdom as top priority in our lives, letting nothing get between us and Jesus, we will taste life with the risen Jesus in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not ignoring social issues of the day. God will raise up people to tackle these important social issues. Some of these people will be Christians. Maybe some of you. But we need to know the main gist of Jesus' message. And those who can see it and accept it and understand why, they need to stick to the message of the gospel and the kingdom of God. I kind of think of it as a boat. You've gone canoeing here? Okay, the bow is going through the water. And it's cutting the water, and then the ripple effects are going off, right? Okay, I think the gospel and the message of the kingdom of God is like the boat cutting through the water. And then if you look behind on the side of the boat, there's all these ripple effects. These are other good things that happen in society, that will happen. God's in control. He will deal with it. He will raise up people. But we have, those that can see the importance of the bow and the boat in the first place, the ripples wouldn't be there without the boat. Right? So the boat is important. And then the ripples happen. And the whole world is blessed. So that's my analogy, my parable of the boat. Second, we cannot be discouraged by hardships and or weaknesses. These disciples needed to live in God's strength. Let's see. Amanda, you asked me to read a verse. I'm going to ask you to read a verse 4 and 5. Okay?
Sure. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Jerusalem was the hardest place for them to remain. It was the place where their Savior Jesus was crucified. It was the place where Peter denied Jesus 3 times. It was a hostile and dangerous place. Every fiber of their being was telling them to flee Jerusalem and never come back. But Jesus told them to stay and wait for the gift the Father wanted to send them, the Holy Spirit. Practically speaking, there is something difficult that God has called each of us to embrace. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your relationships. It could be this and that, you know. Something difficult that God has called each of you to embrace. It's unique for every person. It's something that our human nature is telling us to avoid, but God is telling us to embrace this as we live as His disciples. It is there that we must remain and pray and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will dwell in us, inspire us, teach us, and grow us, and guide us. And the Holy Spirit will help us to hold on to faith in the risen Jesus and our living hope in the kingdom of God. We just can't flee everything. Third, we should not be led away by false hopes. Look at verse 6. So, let's see. Sarah Bond, can you read that for us?
So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?"
Yeah, Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, and the disciples were concerned about the reestablishment of the kingdom of Israel. They wanted Israel independent and glorious, like in the time of King David. They wanted Israel, they were full of nationalistic hopes and dreams. Nationalism. You see, nationalism shouldn't be in the church. But they were full of nationalistic hopes. We often say that all of our hope is in the kingdom of God, but we may be actually nurturing selfish or nationalistic hopes, just like the disciples. In light of Jesus' resurrection and grace, our hopes must be for the establishment of the kingdom of God, which has already begun to grow within you. Fourth, we should not be sidetracked by all kinds of false prophets. Look at verse 7. James Kim, can you read verse 7 for us?
He says that it is not for you to know the times or dates of others and set by his own authority.
Good. Recently, a ministry claimed to know the time and date that Jesus was returning. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was not true. Many people lost their life savings, selling everything they got and paying for billboards on the side of highways. And the leader has disappeared into obscurity. I don't know, did he pass on or did he just
coma.
Disappeared?
Coma.
He's in a coma. Okay, he's in a coma. Time to pray. And anyway, it happens every few years. But Jesus says that this is not for us to know. It's not for us to know the times and dates the Father has set. Jesus, the Son, did not even know the hour of His own returning. We'll talk later. Hold that. Hold that thought. Jesus the Son did not know the hour of His returning. We shouldn't be sidetracked even by guessing the time of Jesus' return. We need to stick to the message of the gospel and the kingdom of heaven. Part 2, you will be my witnesses, verses 8 to 11. So if we're not to do this and not to do that, then what should we be applying our energies towards? Look at verse 8. Let's read that verse all together, okay? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Disciples of Jesus should be witnesses of Jesus. A witness is someone who has seen and experienced something personally. Then you can be a witness. You can't go to court and be a witness if you don't know what you're seeing anyway. The disciples had seen the risen Jesus and experienced His love and grace personally. To be a witness means many things. For some, literally a witness could mean being a martyr. That's the early church, being a witness meant being a martyr. And many of the apostles did die as martyrs. I don't think that you will suffer such an end in America. Being a witness could also mean living the Christian lifestyle, emulating Jesus' life of love and sacrifice. Such lives can reveal the love of God in a world lost in darkness. Another way is to have a high degree of integrity at school or on the job, being faithful, serving your fellow students and employees, being a friend to others, serving your boss, or learning from your teachers and peers as though you were serving Jesus and learning from Jesus. That's a good witness. People will be interested in what you have to say if your life matches what your words. If you are a witness, then people should know that you are a Christ follower. It shouldn't be like 5 years later, you believe in Jesus? I didn't know you were a Christian. It happens. How you bear up under stressful situations can make you a good witness. What do you do when things get a little hairy? When the deadlines are looming? What about when your finances are running low or your patience is failing? What do you do? Can you come to God in prayer and forgive and love unconditionally and trust God in all things? If you can, you can be a good witness. Another way of witnessing is actually making a focused effort to share the gospel with other people. Inviting them to Bible study. Actually teaching someone that you normally don't hang out with the Bible. Many do this among us. The best witness, I'm going to say, is loving one another. That's the best witness. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, really. I mean, that's the truth. John 13, verses 33 to 35. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's the best witness. Loving one another as Jesus has loved us is the best way to witness to the gospel. This love is more than just good friends hanging out together. It's more than just having 1,000 friends on Facebook. It's about forgiving each other, loving each other in the Christian sense, washing each other's feet, sharing the word of God together, bearing with one another's weaknesses, serving each other as we mature in our gospel faith. Then all of the world will know that we are disciples of Jesus. Amen. Jesus wanted his disciples to be witnesses to the gospel to the ends of the earth. Amen. We saw how an American missionary to China back in before the year 2000 helped Peter Liu last night to be changed from an atheist in China to be a believer in Jesus. That American missionary went as an English teacher to China, to the ends of the earth. Now, for him, it was the end of the earth. We have been touched by the prayers and service of Korean missionaries who have come to what they thought was the end of the earth here. And, you know, we need to keep to the ends of the earth in mind. It could be socially, too. Like, the Islamic world could be the ends of the earth. Or postmodern generation could be the ends of the earth. Some may be called to be missionaries, some may stay and witness locally, but anyway, whatever, we have to think globally and act local. You know, think globally and act local.
Yes.
It's a starting point. Anyway, any way you look at it, to be Jesus' witnesses is never easy. You know, is it easy to forgive each other and to serve one another? No. It's like pulling teeth sometimes. Is it easy to go out of your way, out of your comfort zone, to share the gospel with somebody? No, that's hard, okay? Jesus knows it is never easy, and that's why he said in our key verse, verse 8, let's read the key verse together, okay? Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That will give you strength. You know, don't hide from it. God will give you strength. The disciples needed to get to the task at hand. Look at verse 9. Julie, my precious wife. Could you read verse 9 for us?
After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, bowed to him from their sight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Jesus had to go in order to send the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus could have stayed and set up an office in Jerusalem for the rest of eternity and wrote many books and had huge conferences in which he could be the guest speaker every time. And millions of people could have come to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem could have been like a Christian Mecca for 2,000 years. And Jesus could have been there on the Kaaba or something, you know, sitting there. But Jesus, not only that, the disciples and all future disciples would depend on the human Jesus. Jesus somewhere there in Jerusalem. But Jesus wanted them to be his witnesses, and he wanted them to go to the ends of the earth and to depend on him, not on his human presence, but through the Holy Spirit. Jesus once said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in Spirit and in truth." Yeah. Jesus freed us from location-based faith. There's no Christian temple, or there's no Christian country. We're not location-based faith, and he freed us from person-based faith, and we can worship Jesus anywhere in this universe. I say universe because there's people in outer space that can worship Jesus too, not just on Earth. Mars will soon have worshipers of Jesus. He can help each of us personally to be his witnesses. Jesus gave his disciples the World Mission Command in Matthew 28, 18b to 20. For those that can recite this, do it from memory, okay? Here we go. All authority. Okay, ready? "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." How can Jesus be with his disciples always to the end of the age as they live as his witnesses? 24/7? It's possible when he's taken up into heaven and comes to reside in their hearts through the Holy Spirit. The disciples were sidetracked once again in verses 10 and 11. Let's see.
They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Thank you. They were standing there looking up into the sky. Who can blame them? They had just witnessed something very fantastic. The living Jesus levitated into the sky, covered by clouds, and then two angels talking to them. You know, if this happened on the 88 tollway, we call that what?
Gapers.
A gaper's delay. Okay, there was a gaper's delay there. You're like, as disciples, we shouldn't have gaper's delays, gazing off into the sky and remain flabbergasted by amazing things. We need to kick into gear, get it to the task at hand. So what's the task? Well, verse 8. Let's read the key verse again. Okay? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In conclusion, we who have met the risen Jesus, who have tasted his love and his grace, must hear his call to be his witnesses. We need to remain in Jesus, embracing whatever God has in store for us, depending on the Holy Spirit of God for strength and guidance. Keep your focus on Jesus, the gospel, and the message of the kingdom of God. Do not be discouraged by hardships or on your own weaknesses. Do not be led away by false hopes or sidetracked by false prophets. Remain in Jesus. Focus on Christ and place your hope in the kingdom of God as you live as Jesus' witnesses.
Amen.
Okay, let's read again the key verse. We'll get this cemented in our minds. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in many wonderful ways. Lord, we are qualified to be your witnesses because we've met you personally, and we've experienced your saving grace. Lord, strengthen us, Lord. There's so many things that get sidetracked and keep us from the task at hand, but help us to be your witnesses through Christian life, through actually teaching the Bible, sharing the gospel, but most importantly, through loving one another the way you have loved and are loving us. And Lord, help us to have world mission in our minds, thinking globally and acting locally. And hearing your call, if need be, to go to the ends of the earth, actually. And Lord, strengthen us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to strengthen and guide us. And give us your word. And we know you're with us and by our side. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.